After the Supreme Court health reform decision yesterday, we noticed that former Congressman Anthony Weiner had offered comments for the New York Observer's Politicker blog after staying out of the public eye since he resigned over his Twitter scandal. Since Weiner had been one of those leading the charge in the health reform debate and came on this program so many times in that role in 2009 and 2010, we gave him a call, and with us now is former New York City Congressman Anthony Weiner. Thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
It's my pleasure.
And just to remind people of your role in this, first of all, last night we publicized the fact that you were coming on with the language, "Anthony Weiner, who championed health reform in Congress, reacts to SCOTUS." And Chuck Todd from NBC News tweeted, "A champion? I thought he hated it because it didn't have a public option." So did Chuck Todd get your starting point right?
Well, he did get the starting point right. I mean, look, I think you've got to begin the conversation about how you deal with health care by deciding how you're going to use and whether you're going to use insurance companies in the process. And I'm of the belief, and I still kind of hold this belief, that insurance companies basically take our money, give it to doctors and hospitals, and then take a big cut for themselves. And when you compare that to, say, the way that Medicare operates, where Medicare does indeed do the same thing. They take our tax dollars and give it to doctors and give it to hospitals, but they take, what, about 1.05% in the last report. I think that the way to do it is the public model rather than the private model, but we gave that fight the best we could in Congress, and in many ways we now have set up a real fair competition between the two ideas, and we'll see which one works better. But, yes, I championed a different outcome, but there's no doubt, it's not even close, that this bill and this effort are far better than the status quo.
So were you rooting hard for the Supreme Court to uphold the law, or were you kind of ambivalent or apathetic?
Well, oh, no, I certainly wanted them. I believe that Obamacare, and I, by the way, use that phrase willingly and always have because I want to watch some of the opponents have to call it Obamacare from now through history as it becomes more popular. But
the president does too now. People don't know that because every time I say it, I get a lot of complaints from folks who say, no, that's a pejorative. But the president actually has embraced that term now.
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of a sidebar, but it says a little bit about the way this fought has been litigated from the very beginning. I mean, it was always kind of a question about whether we were going to be proud of this accomplishment or not. And I think that the fact that Obamacare at the beginning was seen by many supporters of the bill as a derisive term was always puzzling to me. I've used it right from the very beginning, just as I've always been fond of referring to Romney Care in the same way. You know, I think that we should, supporters should own it, and I think the president should be proud of it. But just kind of getting back to your question, I wanted the law to be upheld. I think it's you know, this isn't an academic or political fight. There are literally millions of Americans who are going to be, I think, living longer, healthier lives because of the law, and even some, according to the Kaiser Institute study, that will not die because of this. They're now going to have health care. So this is not just a political or academic Supreme Court insider fight. These are lives, and of course,
absolutely.
For taxpayers in the city of New York, for example, it's going to mean an enormous windfall because we have so many uninsured people here.
And I do want to acknowledge that of the hundreds of comments posted on our website by progressives yesterday, most were surprised and thrilled by the decision, but some showed their ongoing disgust with this Rube Goldberg contraption of a patchwork law that they see as a giveaway to the insurance companies, with government forcing people to buy their questionable products, and to the pharmaceutical companies, with whom the White House made a devil's bargain, as the critics see it, trading away patients' right to import cheaper drugs from Canada in exchange for big pharma's support. And I hear you when you say you're sympathetic with those listeners. There was a point where you hoped the Obama bill – was there a point where you hoped the Obama bill would be defeated so people could come back later for a more progressive version?
Well, it's kind of the different stages of acceptance about the direction we were going. I don't believe that expanding the system to make more like a Medicare for all, take a health care system that is simple, that seniors have – that they like and expanding it gradually to cover more and more people. I think it had the elegance of the simplicity. It was something that Americans knew, understood, and appreciated. I think that was the better way to go. But, you know, we could go back to the beginning of this debate 50 times. I mean, there are a lot of people who argued to me, and it was persuasive, that said, look, there's some things that we need to learn from the Clinton experience, and one of them is that even though people don't like their health insurance very often, they are comfortable with this model, this employer-based model. I believe it's problematic, but you know, you said that some people believe that this is a win for kind of the corporate interests here. In many ways, that's the way in the last 24 hours I've come to digest what happened in the Supreme Court. The one consistent thing we've seen about the Supreme Court is they're very pro-corporate. Let's not forget, despite the rhetoric coming from Governor Romney and others, this is not expansion of the federal role in health care. What we're really doing is taking your tax dollars, my tax dollars, and giving it to a private entities, which are health insurance companies, which are big corporate entities. Now, the rationale for doing that is it's ultimately less expensive for us as consumers to subsidize people buying private insurance than it is to pay for them in hospital emergency rooms as the uninsured and all of the ramifications that has. But there's no doubt when Roberts flipped to the right side of this, he was not thumbing his nose at corporate interest. In many ways, he was supporting legislation that the health insurance industry clearly benefits from.
My guest on WNYC, former Congressman Anthony Weiner, who was one of the leading voices during the health reform debate, getting his reaction to the Supreme Court decision yesterday. Politicker says you wrote them an email, subject line, okay, it's a tax, geez. What were you getting at with that?
Well, it's kind of a silly conversation is what I was trying to, you know, you want to call it. I mean, you can even call it a user fee. I mean, just so your listeners understand how much of this debate has been dominated by such a tiny corner of the law, it is true that the overall premise of health care reform is that we all have to be in it in order for it to really work, that for health insurance to work, I mean, the way health insurance of all types work is a big enough pool of people are in it, so risk can be aggregated over a large pool. Healthy people, sick people, same way in car insurance, you're aggregating the risk over people who have accidents, over people who don't have accidents. But at the end of the day, the mandate basically results, it only is paid by, the penalty is only, we'll call it a tax, is only paid by people who you go to and say, here's a big subsidy to go buy something you want. If you still decide not to do it, you then pay this extra fee. And the reason you pay the fee is because you're basically freeloading on the system. In Massachusetts, where they have a very similar structure under RomneyCare, 1.5% of people wind up paying that mandated penalty. So, yes, it is a tax, but to call it a tax on the middle class, a burden on Americans, what we're learning is that when people want health insurance, that when you offer them affordable health insurance, they go out and buy it for themselves and their family because it's good for them. It makes them live healthier lives, more secure lives. It makes them easier to find employment. And so we've had this giant argument in the country and now before the Supreme Court about this mandate. In fact, what we're doing is offering generous subsidies to people to buy something that, in my view, they're going to want to buy. So you want to call it a tax if they don't do it? Fine. You want to call it a user fee because they're using health services without paying for it? Fine. You want to call it, I mean, whatever you want to call it. But I kind of always thought that that argument was much ado about not very much because, frankly, I think people, once they have the opportunity to buy into these exchanges, are going to do it freely, willingly, and in large numbers.
Yeah. It's kind of all mixed up, though, because Roberts upholds the law on the basis of the government's ability to tax, while the president argued all along that it wasn't a tax because he didn't want to be seen as raising taxes on the middle class. So everybody's kind of switched around their positions to support what they want to do.
Before you go off, then, let me give you some insight into when we were writing this bill. This was an enormous amount of conversation about this, like what are we going to call it, you know, because everyone had kind of written on a blackboard things to stay away from to avoid kind of the hot button issues of the day. And so this notion, I actually was in there saying, you know what, it's kind of a freeloader tax, right, which was the idea that Republicans originally had, the idea that people who, even if you give them an opportunity to get insurance that saves us all money, that saves, you know, the idea that people who go out and buy health insurance should not be subsidizing those. I was like, let's let our Republican friends vote against the freeloader tax. Let them be the one to defend the idea that someone who doesn't get health insurance, who walks into a hospital emergency room, costs us all a lot of money. Let's let them defend that. So there was a lot of conversation around this. It is ironic and interesting to me that at the end of the day, that's all people are talking about. Is it a tax? Is it a not? The fact of the matter is, if you want to call it a tax, fine. You want to call it a fee. But it doesn't change the fact that I believe it's the ultimate proof point of whether the bill is successful or not is that people are going to buy it willingly.
And I guess the White House press office never picked up that framing of a freeloader tax and tried to run with it. What do you make of Chief Justice Roberts being the swing vote here? So many people think he was being political, not constitutional, and maybe for good reason, to rescue the court from its drift toward predictable partisanship and loss of stature from that, but ironically political nonetheless.
I just think it's evidence of how far we have or have not come, that when the Supreme Court does the right thing on the law and on the precedent, we cheer that the Republic has been saved and now everything is right in the world. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do, didn't they? I mean, they upheld something that when you started this conversation, maybe 90% of jurists, you know, and legal scholars and everybody said, listen, this is clearly constitutional. We're taking a giant part of the national economy, something that was regulated via Medicare, via Medicaid, via all kinds of laws, and we're adding more regulation and some changes to it. I think there's no question that it was constitutional, and a lot of people did. Somewhere along the way, we became convinced, I know I was, I freely admit it, became convinced that, well, this is just another political fight that we're going to have. It was partially because every court of appeals that was a Clinton court or a Democratic court supported it. Every court of appeals that was a federal district court that was a Republican court struck it down. So, I think historians will say there's no doubt that the right thing was done. What Roberts was trying to accomplish, it might have been that he was looking out, as I said earlier in the interview, that his view, his corporate view, said that we've got to make sure that the health insurance industry is still supported. I'm not prepared.
Boy, that's as cynical as the other conspiracy theory.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But I think that we should not be cheering that they did the right thing, that suddenly the Republic is right. We shouldn't overlook the fact that they've done almost consistently the wrong thing at every turn over the course of the last 7 years.
You know, on I think it's the Romney for President website, I saw this online somewhere. It says he would nominate judges in the mold of Scalia, Thomas, Alito, and Chief Justice Roberts. You think they'll be scrubbing the site of that line now?
I don't know. It's really unclear. You know, I heard some of Governor Romney's remarks afterwards, you know, and he was saying, oh, these are the parts of the bill that I like and I'm going to keep, and these are the parts I'm not. I mean, to some degree, you know, everyone is saying that this is a way to animate one base or another. The fact of the matter is, you know, Governor Romney was right on this before he was wrong on this. You know, the structure that was used in Massachusetts is similar here. He is now going to be in the position of having to try to argue that the things he supported then he doesn't support now. The idea to make this a state's issue, one of the lessons that we learned in Massachusetts is that even the heft of a state is not sufficient to control cost when you're dealing with something as large as health care, that you really do need federal help. But I will leave the Supreme Court machinate. But it's another reason we should reelect President Obama, is that we can't allow Governor Romney to be making any more Supreme Court appointments.
And, of course, Romney and the Republicans say this is even more of a reason to elect them for people who oppose the Obama law. But do you think we should assume that if the Democrats keep the Senate, there's no way the Republican House, even if there is a President Romney, could touch the law very much?
I'll go further than that. I think that even if, you know, heaven forfend, the Republicans take over the House and the Senate and the presidency, it's going to be very difficult for them to go back and undo much of this law, because, you know, it's an intricate, you know, in some ways it's very simple. As I described earlier, it's basically just providing people with subsidies to buy insurance so that they're not insured. In some ways, there are innovations in the law to expand Medicare, for example, on prescription drugs, to expand Medicaid to cover more Americans. I think that when the rubber hits the road and they actually have to govern, they're going to realize that much of the elements of this bill that they're going to try, that they say now they're going to try to reverse, are very, very popular. So, but I think that this is going to be the law of the land. I think now it gives us a foundation to improve upon, maybe. And we're also going to see, and this is something I said to you earlier, now we have a fair fight, right? Medicaid, help the people who advocate for the employer-based private health care system have always said, yeah, you really can't compare us to Medicare and Medicaid because we don't have access to all these healthy people in the system that are going to subsidize all of our sick people. That's why our costs are so high. Well, now they're going to have everybody. They're going to have and they're going to be able to compete side by side, and we're going to be able to see which system provides the best value for taxpayers.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. Is this a toe in the water for a return to public life?
Well, you called me and asked for my thoughts on this. This is an issue I care deeply about. I've not stopped caring about it, and the challenge is facing the middle class and those struggling to make it. But I'm not putting my toe anywhere. I'm just going on my favorite radio show and talking about a subject very dear to me.
I appreciate it, and we did call you. But we've called you a few times, and you've said no. But I read that the conservative firebrand Andrew Breitbart, before he died suddenly this year, said he was in discussions with CNN about a Crossfire-style talk show featuring him versus you. How far did that ever get?
I never heard anything about it till I heard those stories. I don't believe it. Certainly wasn't true as it involved me, unless there was. I can't say what was going on in Mr. Breitbart's life, but I never heard anything about it, so I don't believe it was true.
Anything else you want to say to the many listeners who were your supporters and were disappointed by the way things ended?
I still have regrets. I paid a very high price, I'm still committed to the same things I was, and I have a 6-month-old that I have to go and feed now. So I have to say that my life is filled with great joy. But as I said, when I resigned, I feel great regret for the people that I let down.
Well, thank you for accepting our invitation today. You were always an important voice during the healthcare debate, and we appreciate you coming back on to talk about it with us today.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, we will stay on the Supreme Court decision, and coming up next, we will look more closely at the part of the law that was struck down, penalizing states if they don't expand their Medicaid rolls. Will Chris Christie or other Republican governors now opt out of universal coverage? Stay with us.